Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, where family comes first.
Just where do you suppose my strong will came from?
Not from me. Ryan was not a strong-willed child. He was sneaky.
Oh.
You had to keep your eye on him at all times.
Me?
Dad, how do you help your kids make their faith their own?
You ought to be asking the question, is this true or is this just what I was taught?
Mom, how do you make your house a home?
It's a sad commentary on today's families that there are so many children that are deprived of love.
It's practical advice to help strengthen your family right here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. We're so glad you've chosen to be with us on this Wednesday edition of Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane here with my co-host, Ryan Dobson. And Ryan, I would like to start today by reading a question we received recently from one of our Facebook fans.
Oh, that's great. It's amazing the way that social media allows us to instantly connect with our listeners, and we love hearing from all of you.
And it helps us when we're approaching the development of a new broadcast. We want to hit those topics that are relevant to people's lives. Well, we heard from Kim, who asked, how do I teach my children to be content with our financial means in a world fueled by a sense that I gotta have all my wants right now? And another fan, Claudia, asked us to address teaching money skills to children.
Oh, Luann, those are great questions. Mm-hmm. And having a five-year-old, I've been thinking about those a lot lately. And it's just our culture is inundated with the message of materialism.
Yeah.
And credit card companies and even some banks, they make it way too easy to get items on credit. And that is a recipe for disaster.
And Ryan, it's also easy at times as a parent to feel a little bit like an ATM, you know, shelling the cash out to the kids every time you turn around. But if we want our children to understand good money management, we have to be very purposeful about it, especially in our culture, as you just indicated. Well, today we're going to hear from two guests who are both the parents of five grown children, and they are financial experts, and they have great help to offer us as parents.
They will be familiar to many of our listeners, and their names are Ron and Judy Blue. They are highly, highly qualified to talk about this topic.
And we will hear from them now as our host, Dr. James Dobson, introduces them here on this Family Talk broadcast.
Well, our guests are two friends that go way, way back for Shirley and me, Ron and Judy Blue. Ron is currently the president of Kingdom Advisors, which is an international effort to equip and motivate Christian financial professionals to implement biblical wisdom that results in financial freedom and increased giving, which is something I feel strongly about. He's the author of over a dozen books on personal finance from a biblical perspective. He's also been on this broadcast over a dozen times going back to, I think, and we were talking about this before the program, I think in 1983. So we've been working together for a long time.
We have.
You still look pretty good.
So do you, Jim.
Well, we
maybe
are,
it's our eyesight.
Yeah. I think somebody said that to me the other day. I was looking younger. I said, as you get old, your vision is fading. We are also very pleased to have Ron's better half with us today. Judy is here for the first time. I don't know where you've been all those years, Judy, but we're glad to have you.
Well, I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You have a great heart for teaching and encouraging women. You do this often, and you've spent some 30 years doing it, in fact. Judy is a popular speaker at seminars and retreats and has co-authored several books with Ron, including one that we want to turn our attention to today called Your Kids Can Master Their Money, Fun Ways to Help Them Learn How, by Ron and Judy Blue and Jeremy White. And we're going to be talking generally about that subject. And a lot of the concepts that are in this book came out of your own home. They're autobiographical, aren't they, Ron?
Yeah, you know, the books that I've written over the years, you can kind of follow my life. And this one was written, this is probably Judy and I's favorite book. because we had such joy in raising our kids. And now we've been able to kind of look back. Our oldest is 40 now. And our greatest time of life was really raising those kids. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit sad. You know, today, when you look around, and we still obviously have influence, but it's not the same. We loved it, and we loved training our kids in all the principles of life.
Well, that's why when our youngest, Ryan, went off to college, it took me 3 days to get over it. I cried for 3 days. I really did, because of what you're talking about. That was a very meaningful, precious time of my life, and I knew it was over. A month later, it sounded like a pretty good idea, you know.
You could get used to it.
I could get used to the house being cleaner and quieter. You obviously worked with your own children in understanding money. Can you get kids interested in thrift and savings and using money wisely according to biblical principles? Is that something you can get them into?
Well, I think you can, and I think it's a great vehicle to empower them and educate them for being responsible on a lot of areas, because there aren't a lot of things in their life that you can give them absolute control over, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, but with trying to raise money smart kids, if you use the system of the envelope system, and you literally are willing as a parent to release the money that you put in those envelopes, which is really just money that you're spending on them anyway.
We're going to talk about that, and that's a centerpiece of your book, and
right.
It's a good one. This generation of young people really does not, I think, grasp the biblical uses and abuses of money. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And there's no consistent teaching. Matter of fact, you were talking about teaching and who teaches your kids and who do you think is teaching your kids. Interesting, the only curriculum in the schools today on money and money management is developed and taught by the credit card companies, Visa, MasterCard, American Express. There just is no good teaching unless the parents do it. None. Mm-hmm. The churches don't do it. The schools don't do it. If the parents don't accept the responsibility to train their children, they won't get taught.
So it should not surprise us that many young married couples think they can get what their parents accumulated in a lifetime in the first few years.
Yeah.
And they find themselves fussing and fighting over money because there's not enough to go around and not enough to even go out to dinner together or be together or take a vacation together. It really does affect marriage too, doesn't it, Judy?
Oh, yes. And I think that basically, in just thinking about the bigger picture of everything in our culture, we live in a pretty boundaryless society. You know, there are no boundaries with finances for many people because they think they can just go get another credit card. And there are not moral boundaries. So I think basically it's a reflection of the lack of boundaries.
Before we get into the principles in your book, what occurs when the parents have been so irresponsible with their money and really have kind of made a mess out of it, and now they're going to try to teach their kids to be disciplined and able to make good decisions, to understand the biblical principles? You all are up against a real barrier there when the people you're teaching to teach others haven't got a clue.
They don't have a clue, and in order for them to feel good about teaching their children, they've got to go back and start with themselves. So you've got a barrier that you have to overcome.
You know, I remember what one of my mentors that you know well, Jim, Dr. Howard Hendricks, he always says, more's caught than taught. And that was a principle that Judy and I live by, that if we weren't doing it, our kids could never, ever catch it. And it, no matter how much teaching we did. And the other one was that you don't know whether you've been a good parent until your children have raised their children, which gives a really good perspective on the whole parenting thing.
Yeah.
My own feeling is that money, the way you work out money decisions is a reflection of your spirituality. It's the most direct reflection of where you are spiritually. So the opportunity that parents have to use money to teach children, they're really teaching them biblical principles, and they're teaching them how to live life according to God's word. And it's one of those areas where you can't fake how you manage money.
Ron, does it bother you, and I'm sure it does, that the statistics that I've read show that only about 20% of Christians give to God's kingdom through the church or anybody else, that 80% don't give at all?
Well, it's even worse than that, really, because according to George Barna statistics, only 7% of evangelical born-again Christians have a biblical worldview, meaning that they make their decisions according to what God's Word has to say. So the giving statistics are just reflective of what people believe, because all behavior is a function of belief, and they just don't believe what God's Word says. So, yeah, it really bothers me.
I think the first principle of money that my parents taught me, it actually began with my grandmother, was to give 10% when I was 3 and 4 years of age. I remember my grandmother gave me a dollar, and the next Sunday I put a dime into the offering plate. It was a very important aspect of my training. And I've never understood Christians who don't see it that way, because how can you say, God owns my entire life, Lord, I'm a follower of yours, and I won't give you a dime? Did you teach your kids to tithe as an understanding of the fact that God owns it all?
Yes, we did. That was totally integrated part of the envelope system that we used with the kids.
All right. You've mentioned that twice. Let's talk about it.
About the envelope system?
The envelope system was a mechanism, a system that you developed that taught many of the principles that are in this book. So let's talk about them. Explain what that is. I've heard this, Ron, from you in the past. Judy, I want to hear it from you.
Now you're going to listen to the one who really made it work,
yeah,
Jim.
Well, she got the biggest envelope. That's why.
Well, you know, the envelope system works for adults, too. I just want to say that. Because what it does is, if you go get cash and put it in respective envelopes, and as adults, if it's for gasoline and food and whatever, when the envelope is empty, you quit spending. So there's so many principles built in to the system, but then you reinforce it, obviously, with the verbal interaction with your kids. But we had a spending envelope, a saving envelope, an envelope for clothing, one for gifts, and then one for tithing. And the spending and the saving were 10% of the other ones. And we ran out of children. The youngest child that we started the system with was 5, but it was amazing how well he took to it. And obviously, when you give a 5-year-old their clothes money, you don't make them responsible for as many clothing items as you would your 16-year-old.
Yes.
So it's a matter of making it age specific, but they respond so well. Jim, when our kids were growing up, their friends' parents would call me and say, "What are you doing with your kids financially?" Because my kids want to do the same thing. But they had freedom and power within very defined limits. And I think it's, I'm trying to remember who it is that says that the definition of freedom is the power to do what you ought to do. Mm-hmm. So having those built-in boundaries gives them so much security.
All right, let me see if I understand now. You've got, we'll say, a 10-year-old, and you've got all these envelopes, and cash goes into those envelopes.
That's right.
And it's going to be a great temptation to dip in there and spend it for the wrong things. It isn't really valid unless they have the ability to do the wrong thing as well as the right thing.
That is correct. Yeah. But what we did with each of our kids was, it was always an annual meeting, and you sit down so that they understand what they're responsible for out of each envelope and what the rules are as far as putting money between envelopes, or, you know, borrowing Peter to pay Paul kind of thing. So they understood the system, and you had joint commitment as to what they were responsible for and what the process was. So for the most part, we did not have trouble with our kids borrowing from one envelope to the other.
When cold weather would come along, October, it's time to get a new coat. And you can get coats that don't cost very much, and you can get very expensive coats. So if a kid goes down and selects a very expensive coat that robs the other envelopes, you allow them to do that?
Well, now, clothing was confined to the clothing envelope. I'm pretty sure that we did not let them go out of that. They could always work to make extra. But what we would do with them is to sit down and say, okay, what kind of clothing items do you need for this next year? About how much do you think that will cost? And then we would break it out over the 12-month period and give them their allowance every 2 weeks or every week if they were younger, or once a month if they were older. So then that they had the monies, and they also had the plan to go with it. And sometimes there were blips in the system, and, you know, you had to sit down, and my one grandson grew 4 inches last year. Well, you know, you have to have a whole lot more genes if you grow 4 inches in 1 year than if you grow a half an inch. So
but
you can't
build
everything.
But they don't have to be designer genes.
Exactly. But there's so much freedom in them being able to choose between designer and not. We had one child who would have far rather gone and bought two polo shirts and only had two shirts, and another daughter who would have far rather gone to Target and bought her stuff there because she could get more. And if it had been coming out of my pocket, I would not have been able to let them do that. That would have bothered me too much. But mm-hmm. that's why I'm saying, you know, once you put in the envelope, you have to have agreed with the child what the rules and the system are.
Yes.
And then let them make their mistakes.
I have a friend that used this system, and they had one child who was very responsible just by her nature, and she did buy a very expensive coat, and then through the rest of the year, she did not have clothing for school, and she wore socks with holes in them, and the parents allowed her to learn from that. It was a very important lesson. Did you ever have to allow them to do something that hurt you?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yes, but, you know, far better that they learn a $100 mistake or a $200 mistake than the yeah. people that we see as adults that are making thousands and thousands of dollar mistakes because they don't have the boundaries. They put it on a credit card, and you pay for a long time.
You know, Judy and I operated off of a budget, so we knew that we had allocated X number of dollars for our family for these particular items. And then we followed the principle that we want to give them the responsibility for that part of the budget. And we put it into the budget, we put it into the envelopes. It's no different than the old cookie jar method. You know, when Dad came home from work at the end of the week and he put the dollars in the cookie jar and they took it out for groceries and gas and so forth, but they stopped when the cookie jar was empty. Well, we just had five cookie jars. We call them envelopes. And we wanted to teach them that God owns it all. We wanted to teach them to live within their income. And we had one more principle, and that was that children learn responsibility by having responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't expect them to learn those things you want them to learn by telling them. They've got to experience them. That's why mistakes are so important.
You destroy the entire understanding of money when you give them too much and too easily and disconnect that from work.
Absolutely. Because if they didn't have enough, it's like the coat illustration. If they didn't have enough, well, that's fine. Get a job. I mean, maybe we would provide a job, or if they were old enough to babysit or whatever, they could earn more money. Or, this is un-American, they could spend less.
You know, when my daughter was three, we had three little jars. They were baby food jars. So, and I had written on top of the three jars, Jesus, spend, and save. And those were the three that she could understand. But she didn't fully get it. And she had ways of earning money by doing the right things that got pennies that went in there. And every day there was the good humor man that came along. And my daughter would get very excited about that when she heard the song. And she had not been very disciplined about getting ready for that ice cream truck when it came along. And she came tearing into the house and went to the jars, and the spin jar was empty. And she brought it to me and said, Daddy, Daddy, we got to get some more money in here. But I didn't give her money on that occasion. And if you do, you destroy the whole system.
You really do. It comes back to they've got to have responsibility in order to learn responsibility. And in the money area, it's really riskless almost for the parents. It's not that way in some of the moral decisions that they face. And some of those other challenges, but you can in the money area, which is why I think it's so critical to parenting to teach that.
I don't know about you, but I'm taking notes on this Family Talk broadcast with our guests Ron and Judy Blue. Now, if you can't stay with us for the remainder of our time, be sure to catch the program online at familytalk.org. Or if you want to save a copy of this, call us. We'll give you a complimentary CD. Our number is 877 732-6825. We have just a few minutes left here with the Blues, but they're about to address an incredibly important point. In a society where you can't really exist without at least one credit card, how do we use that wisely? So many of us use cards and to get airline miles or the cash back, but how can we take advantage of those perks while still modeling responsibility and finances to our kids? They see everything that we do. Let's hear what our guests had to say here on this Family Talk broadcast.
Well, first of all, credit cards never got anybody into problem. Okay, it's the person holding the credit card that got into problems. Okay, so credit cards are not a sin. They're not a problem, really. The only thing with a credit card is if you use it for convenience, pay it off every month. And if you can't pay it off every month, then you're using it irresponsibly. But by the time our youngest reached high school, we knew we had to teach our kids how to use a credit card because they were going to get them in college and they were going to use them for the rest of their life, really. And you really can't function in this society without the credit card. So they've got to learn how to use it. And what better way to learn than watching what mom and dad do? They're going to do what you did, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, our kids now are raised and we can see some of the fruits of that. Interestingly enough, none of them were going to use the envelope system with their kids. But they already had all these principles, and so they just naturally used them. And they almost did not understand the significance of what they had been taught.
You used to have four principles. We don't have time to list them, but one of the four is that there is a trade-off between work and money.
Absolutely. There's a trade-off between time and effort and money and rewards.
Yeah. And if you don't get that straight, you've got irresponsibility all
over
the place.
You really do. There's not a free lunch, if you will. You've got to work for it.
There is so much practical stuff in this book on bill paying, getting your kids involved in paying the bills so they can see where this money is going. I remember my dad was making $25 a week as a pastor when I was 6 years old, and I remember saying, where's all that money go? You know, and they sat out and talked to me about all the things they had to pay with it. I can't believe they got anything done with 25 bucks that they did. As the stock market, do you ever allow kids to invest in the stock market? What do you do with birthdays? That's the one that used to bother me, because we would invite all of the little friends in, and every one of them would bring a gift, and our kids would be busting open 8 or 10 or 12 gifts, and it just seemed like too much to me, and I think others go through that too. There's so much more here. We're just going to have to refer them to the book, Your Kids Can Master Their Money, which is yours for the most part. Fun Ways to Help Them Learn How, Ron and Judy Blue and Jeremy White. I appreciate you guys publishing this and for your friendship. And Ron, before too long, we're going to do two more programs. And
okay,
as long as we both live, you'll be sitting at this table.
Jim, my relationship with you has been one of the special things in my life. Thank you.
Well, it goes
Judy
two
and
ways.
I can say that.
Judy?
I feel really honored to be here, and I, too, consider you a cherished friend. So thank you.
What a great conversation today with our guests, Ron and Judy Blue, on this Family Talk broadcast. And Luann, it's great timing, too, with the holidays right around the corner and the economy in the state that it's in.
Well, Ryan, it's on everybody's minds, yours and mine as well. We actually started a conversation about finances and this whole topic the other day on our Family Talk Facebook page. So many people weighed in and shared their thoughts. Shannon said, if you just add up what the average American spends going through the drive-through alone, that would pay off a lot of bills. And I will also add that Americans also pay for those grande skinny white mochas with a lot of change out of their pockets as well.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm sure you don't, Ryan.
Oh, no doubt, Luann. Sylvia had this to say, I have begun learning that if you do not master your money, it will master you.
Well, that's true for parents and for kids. Ryan, I know it's every parent's heart to do all that they can to keep our kids from experiencing that same kind of bondage. To help you as a parent do this, we can make Ron and Judy Blue's book available to you. The title again, Your Kid Can Master Their Money, Fun Ways to Help Them Learn How.
Request that at familytalk.org or call us anytime. Our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.
Another resource that I'd like to mention here is our latest 3-CD broadcast collection. It's called Living with Purpose, all focused on helping you and your family live intentionally. Mm. It's not only inspirational, it's highly practical, and that is also available at familytalk.org.
And if our listeners could consider supporting the work of Family Talk, we could really use the help right now. Mm. We are coming up on the holidays, and before you know it, we will be at the end of 2011, it is a critical time for us financially.
You could give online. Again, that's familytalk.org. Or one last time, our phone number, 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for listening today, and we hope to see you right here tomorrow when we will hear a powerful testimony of one man's life that was changed forever right here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.